Okay, Matthew 28 from 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Good morning, everyone. Good to see so many of you at this service. The passage that was read to us a few minutes ago is a very familiar passage, but I believe it's so key and central to understanding what whole life mission is all about. So I'd like to present to you a few truths from this passage, which I hope will encourage us all to be involved in a whole life mission. I remember reading about the first man that NASA put in orbit around the Earth. A disagreement took place between NASA officials and the astronauts. The astronauts were very keen to have a window on their capsule so that as they circumnavigated the Earth, they could see the spectacular views. NASA officials were concerned about health and safety. But in the end, the astronauts won the argument. One Russian astronaut explained how he was rather startled as he looked out of this tiny little window and had a great difficulty locating Mount Everest because it was so small. And another astronaut said this: "On the first and second day, we all pointed to our countries. The third and fourth day, we were all pointing to our continent. But on the fifth day, we were only aware of the Earth." Their perspective had changed in a matter of a few days. They now had become global citizens. This is what Matthew is concerned about as he concludes his gospel. This morning is a call to all of us to become those global citizens. In fact, as you look at the verses, very soon you will discover the idea of universality that is found in these verses. One of the repeated themes that you see there is the little word "all." Matthew emphasizes this little word, and his emphasis of this word "all" should not be forgotten, for it is the key to understanding the words of Jesus as we look at life and whole life mission. We probably will know this great commission very, very well. The conclusion of Matthew's gospel, and we have heard many sermons from it. In fact, some of the early church fathers and some of the reformers felt that Jesus' words were instructions only to the disciples of his day. But over the years, many people, including the great missionary heroes like William Carey, didn't agree with that. And they insisted that the verses in Matthew chapter 28 speak to all of Jesus' disciples across all generations and across all cultures. They call every Christian to have a vision for global missions, to become global citizens. But before we come to Jesus' command, it's worth noting what Matthew says in verse 17. This is very easily skipped over. Matthew records that when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. It's a little unexpected, an unexpected word that Matthew inserts in this account. They are now encountering the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen him brutally murdered, but now on the mountain they encounter Jesus again. No wonder they worshipped him. But Matthew says that some amongst them doubted. They doubted Jesus. Some of them doubted Jesus' mission, if they could be part of this program that he was about to reveal to them. Or perhaps they were expecting Messiah to come who would rid them of the Roman occupation. They simply were not sure about the call of Jesus, his purpose, and his mission, and what their part was going to be in this great call that he's about to give to them. And it is significant that Matthew says that some of them doubted. Maybe there are some of us today, this morning, like those old early disciples who doubt Christ. Christ's mission, we think, is okay for the really super committed. Maybe for the people who can speak many languages. Maybe for the well-trained. Maybe for the extrovert, the courageous type. But mission, Christ's mission, that's not for me. But we are going to see that what Jesus commanded is vital for every one of us. And what Jesus promises is sufficient for every one of us. We don't need to wait for training, valuable as that may be. We don't need to reach to a certain level of maturity in our Christian lives. We don't need to have all the answers to questions about the Christian faith. We need to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ and then be ready to do what he says. Author Charles Price used to say this: the best solution to doubt is obedience to God. Throw yourself into the work of God and see how he will use you. So let's look at the foundations of those universals that are mentioned here in Matthew chapter 28. Firstly, all authority. All authority. Verse 18, then Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now, this is an extremely important starting point. In our culture here in the UK and in Europe in general, in a world of other religions, often it is asked, why are Christians so arrogant to claim that the gospel is for every culture? If you're going to proclaim that Jesus is the Savior, then people are going to ask, what gives you the right to claim that Jesus is the Savior of the world? And I think this is a good question that they have to ask the church. There are now around 1.5 million Muslims in the UK. That's more than the communicant members of the Church of England. I come from India. And did you know that the city of Leicester has the second largest Hindu population outside of India? Leicester in the UK? Many years ago, I remember reading about the former English batsman. I love cricket. The former English batsman, Mike Gatting, one who doesn't like the universals, the absolutes of the Christian message. And he said this: I believe in a bit of everything. God, the supernatural, superstitions, ghosts, UFOs. I like to keep my options open. That's so true, isn't it? We hear this all the time in our schools, in our neighborhoods, among our friends. It's so common to hear people reply when we present the gospel, it's okay for you, but don't make it an absolute. Don't universalize it. But Jesus, my dear friends, insists that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority, you see, is quite a major theme in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 7 of the gospel, Matthew records that the crowds were amazed that he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Jesus was authoritative in his miracles as well. In chapter 9, after the incident of the healing of the paralytic, he underlines something deeply insignificant. In chapter 9, Jesus says, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority in heaven and on earth," he said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed, and go." And now he has been raised from the dead. He has authority over every power in the universe, even death itself. All authority means that Jesus' authority is comprehensive. It is a universal authority. Perhaps the first thought that came to Matthew's first readers was that of a victorious military general who assured his people of his universal, absolute power and authority. This is how it is for us, my dear friends. This Jesus who teaches with authority, who forgives sins with authority, who has risen from the dead with authority. This Jesus calls us to himself, and then he sends us out into the world. It is absolute, universal authority. And that's the authority that he delegates to his disciples. We are sent by King Jesus, my dear friends. Of course, our mission must be done with humility, with sensitivity to the cultures where God might send us. But nonetheless, we should not shrink back from proclaiming the gospel here in the UK. We must not be intimidated by other religions or being politically correct. We are called by Jesus, the King. All authority, he said, is given to me. Christians around the world encounter all kinds of authorities, like the authority of the occult, the authority of political regimes, hostile governments, and religious governments that are hostile to the church and the Christian faith. But yet, on the basis of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus still calls us, even in those contexts, to preach his gospel with authority. And if some of us, like those early disciples, feel unsure of this call to mission, or if we are hesitant to be involved because of our own weakness, maybe our vulnerabilities, maybe our lack of confidence, then we need to hear this opening remark of King Jesus. We need to look to this authoritative, risen Lord Jesus, who says, "All authority has been given to me." John Stott, in his book about mission, says this: "Nothing is more important for the recovery of the church's mission where it has been lost, or its development where it is weak, than a fresh, clear, and comprehensive vision of Jesus Christ. When he is demeaned, and especially when he is denied the fullness of his person and work, the church lacks motivation. It lacks direction. Its morale crumbles and our mission integrates. But when we see Jesus, King Jesus, we have enough of incentive, inspiration, and power to fulfill his mission here on earth." So, Jesus says, all authority. Secondly, all nations. All nations. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You will notice how Matthew records Jesus' words. He says, therefore, go. On the basis of Jesus' authority, he sends us out to go and make disciples of all nations. We should now stop and notice how expansive this command is. Now we are called to make disciples of not just individuals, not just local churches, but we are called to make disciples of all nations. Once again, we see that there is this universality about what Jesus says. All authority. And here, all nations. It's a call for us to be global Christians. The word Jesus uses here implies that our mission is to reach out to the Gentiles, to all nations, to all people groups. Jesus is deliberately expanding the horizons of mission beyond the Jewish boundaries, which is Matthew's primary concern in this gospel. And now he's reminding his disciples, the readers of this gospel, of a mission that includes all nations. The question we may be asking ourselves is, are we those global Christians? Are we those believers that Jesus had in mind when he called us to go into all the nations? Every local church, every believer should have this vision. All nations, all authority. Where are these nations now? What are these nations that Jesus had in mind? What do the nations have to mean to us today, living in this day and age? Now in today's world, reaching the nations can mean crossing frontiers, traveling around the globe to places like India. But it can also mean, in our culture, just crossing our street. Just crossing our street. Our community here in Cardiff represents a rich diversity of nationality and ethnic groups. So it's not a matter precisely of where you are sent. Each of us has been called by God and sent out to serve Him. It does not matter how far He sends us. It may be to the other side of the world, or it may be to your next door neighbor. Distance has nothing to do with this. This is all the more true in our culture in which we live today. Cardiff, for example, has a population of over 500,000 people. And more than 54,000 people in this city, I'm told, belong to a non-white ethnic people group. And they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The nations have come to the city of Cardiff. They are at our doorstep. So wherever God has placed us, He has given us a unique network of friendships and opportunities to reach the nations that are around us. Some of us may be called to the uttermost parts of the earth. But all of us, are called to cross our street. So, my dear friends, all nations, all authority. Thirdly, Christ Jesus said, all things. Verse 19 and verse 20. Go therefore and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So what is clear from Jesus' command is that there is much more to mission than simply making converts. And the text deliberately talks about baptizing and teaching everything that Jesus has commanded. This represents the entire body of Jesus' teaching. So mission involves not only the initial presentation of the gospel, but mission involves the nurturing of new believers, converts, bringing people to a full obedience of faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had this mission statement for his life and mission in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. He says, "We admonish everyone, teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we might present everyone perfect. To this end, I labor, struggling with all my energy." So we call people to make decisions for Christ, but we are also calling them to live for Jesus Christ as true disciples of His. Jesus said, "If you hold my teachings, then you are really my disciples." What does it mean to be a disciple? We think of one who is a follower. Actually, a disciple is a learner, someone who is committed to hearing and learning and living everything that Jesus has taught. In India, some new converts are referred to as rice Christians, because they profess to follow Christ simply for the physical and material blessings that they get out of being a Christian. They are not committed to being true disciples of Jesus. "What is it that I can get out of being a Christian?" they ask. Paul has a similar concern. Proclaiming the gospel was central, but there is so much more to be done in strengthening and teaching the believers, in building Christian communities, in nurturing true disciples for God's kingdom. This is essentially true all around the world. One of the significant themes of Christian mission today is the large number of people coming to faith in the majority world. Many years ago, the majority of Christians were in the north. Here in Western Europe and North America, 75% of Christians were found in the north. But now, in my lifetime, the center of gravity of world missions has shifted. Now 75 to 80% of Christianity is found in the majority south, Africa, Asia, and Latin America. We are 20% here in the north, and we are shrinking. Today, on this Sunday, there will be more Christians worshiping in China than in the whole of Western Europe. There will be more Anglicans in churches in Nigeria than Anglicans in churches in the UK, in America, and in Australia combined. There's something like 1,600 to 2,000 new churches being planted every week in the south. Something like 45,000 new believers in Africa every week. We are seeing a rapid advance of the gospel, my dear friends. And the gospel is growing like never before. We are part of the fastest growing family on the globe. In many countries, this is true. But sadly, the growth is widespread, but it is very, very thin. There's little evidence of discipleship and maturity amongst these new believers. I know of a mission in North India, in the state of Uttar Pradesh, which has the population three times that of the United Kingdom. They have 1,000 missionaries serving in that needy part of North India. And for one full week, every month, these missionaries are gathered together and they are taught the books of the Bible as church planters, so that they can go back to their places of ministry and teach the Word of God to the small church plants all across this huge state in North India. When one of the mission leaders was asked, why such an investment of bringing 1,000 people every month for training, many of them so very poor? The answer was, these leaders all come from Hindu background, and now they are leading churches. They have had a Hindu worldview. They need to know the story of the Bible. They need to be committed in studying God's word, strong, deeply rooted in the fundamentals of the Christian doctrine, so that they could go back to their church plants and teach God's word, so that they would be able to face the hostilities of Hinduism and plant strong and growing churches, teaching all things. Making disciples is the central aspect of the church. It is fulfilling this great commission, but there's no time for us to waste. We need to get down to doing the task that God has called us to. All authority, all nations, all things. And fourthly, always with you. Verse 20, Jesus said, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. How important that little phrase is to every one of us here this morning, isn't it? Matthew's gospel begins with the arrival of baby Jesus, the baby who is called Emmanuel, God with us. But here in the closing verses of this book, Matthew underlines this truth, that you and I have the assurance of the risen Lord Jesus to be with us till the very end of the age. As his disciples take up the mission to all nations, they hear the risen Christ, Emmanuel himself, saying, I will be with you as you embark on this journey. This has been the deepest encouragement in my work. Nothing we encounter, opposition which is going to increase even here in the UK, persecution, 200 million evangelicals in 35 countries under direct and hostile persecution right now, satanic attack, none of these things is bigger than the resources we have in Jesus Christ, my dear friends. His authority, his presence. That was the confidence that the early disciples had as a group of ordinary men. They turned the world upside down. And this is so very important for us even today. If God is laying his hands on you, calling you to serve him wherever that may be, you need to hear him say to you, I am with you. Always, through life, through death, to the very end of this age. Paul was one who knew this for certain. In Acts chapter 18, Paul is in prison, and one night the Lord spoke to him. In verse 8, Paul says, the Lord came and said to me, do not be afraid, Paul. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Then in chapter 23, when Paul was before Caesar, the previous night the Lord stood with Paul and said, Paul, take courage. I am with you. And then in chapter 27, on board the ship, when he had warned them not to go out, but they still went, they were hit by a strong typhoon. And he said to the terrified crew members, last night, the God whose I am and who I serve, he stood by my side and he said, don't be afraid. I am with you. And then toward the end of his life, in a very moving letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, he wrote, here he is in prison, being opposed even by fellow Christians, being deserted by all his friends. He could have been the loneliest person on earth, the lowest in his life. And this is what he says from prison. The Lord stood by my side and he gave me strength. The Lord stood by my side. Isn't that amazing, my dear friends? That the risen Lord Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We used to have friends who served in Varanasi, another great city in North India. Varanasi is a city which is at the center of Hinduism. It's there that the river Ganges begins. And it's there that the Hindus would go in the thousands and millions, in fact, who would go down there and dip in the Ganges to clean themselves of all their sins. And this missionary couple who served there in the midst of darkness, stiff opposition, and even danger of their own lives, this is what they said. The only assurance that we have serving in this hostile environment is the presence of the Lord himself. The only security that we have is our salvation in Jesus Christ. He is by our side, and nothing will happen to us without his knowledge. So, my dear friends, if you really know this in your hearts and in your heads, that Jesus is alongside of you, you can face the world. You can face Islam. You can face Hinduism. You can take whatever is thrown at you. Surely, I am with you always. The one who has all authority, the risen Christ, surely I am with you always, he says. All authority, all nations, all things, always with you. And finally, all of us. All of us. There are two ways of understanding this. Firstly, all of us means every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. The call to discipleship is a call to missions that embraces every part of my life. A comedian was once asked, "Where do you come from?" He answered, "From London." "Which part?" "Every part of me," he said. God is not simply interested in verbal profession. He's not interested in the occasional religious activity. He wants all of me. He wants every aspect of my life to reflect his glory and fulfill his good purpose. Maybe the Lord is saying to some of us today, I want all of you. Today may be a very significant day when God says to you, all of you, not just part of you. Secondly, all of us means every one of us. Every one of us. Every single believer. The call to whole life mission is not reserved for some spiritual group of people. Not just for God's special SAS. It's a call for all, not just for a few. It's a call for every believer who's a disciple, who's called to make disciples of all nations. This may mean a complete change of direction in your life. It may mean a call to a new sphere of service. It may be a call to going overseas. Are we ready to give our all for the sake of Jesus Christ? David Bryan, in his book, defines a global Christian like this. And with this I close. A global Christian is one who is so gripped by the glory of God and the glory of his global purpose that he chooses to align himself with the purpose of God's mission to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. The burning prayer of every global Christian will be, Lord, let the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice in your name. And so, my dear friends, all authority, all nations, all things, always with you and with me, and all of us. Let us pray. Lord, this call to whole life mission will frighten us if it is not for your risen presence. For you meet us and you stand with us and you send us with authority to teach the whole gospel to all the nations. We thank you that you're the one who will empower us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, that you will come and stand amongst us and walk with us as we walk in service for you, be it here in Cardiff, in the UK, or even around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.